Hey, thanks for joining us. This is Lady V along with SD. We are She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, the podcast, where it is our goal to inspire hope. Stay tuned as we conclude our discussion on mental health awareness. Depression, suicide, murder, suicides, cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. So we talked about how our thoughts are directly linked to how we view life.
Yeah.
Now this week we are continuing this discussion, and we have our resident counselor with us, Miss Melinda Fields, who has a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in human services and counseling. Mm-hmm. And she will share some clinical insights on mental health awareness. And let's all welcome Miss Melinda.
Hello.
Okay, so as we begin, you know, we would briefly, Miss Melinda, tell us some warning signs to look for in someone who is clinically depressed, because we know that everyone has a bout with depression every now and again. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what's the difference? What is the difference when you know there's a really issue there?
Well, the thing is, we all, like you said, get sad from mm-hmm. time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it goes into depression, is when you've been sad for like 2 weeks or more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So if you're just sad just a few days, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're sad for more than 2 weeks, then that's caution to either talk to your family doctor
mm-hmm.
or talk to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as a friend, all you have to do is be empathetic
yeah.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, just listen
mm-hmm.
and allow them to express what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can go into asking, you know, well, do you need any help?
Mm-hmm.
Have you talked to your doctor?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you first, if you look at them
mm-hmm.
and you can tell something is wrong,
mm-hmm.
you can say, are you okay?
Because mm-hmm. usually you could be able to tell if someone's acting out of character, and they
right.
seem, you know, you could kind of look at a person and you're not acting like you usually act. They seem like
correct.
They're down or acting, you know, like, you know, they just have a loss of energy or whatever. It's like a disparity
right.
look. You can pretty much tell.
Yeah, they basically become antisocial.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
start acting and doing their behavior, as you said, change.
Mm-hmm.
They stop hobbies and
mm-hmm.
socializing with
yeah.
people. They just
yeah.
basically stay to their self.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
You know, because some people have the problem of sleep.
Yeah.
You know, if they either sleep too long
mm-hmm. sleep patterns,
or they,
yeah,
they you know,
mm-hmm.
can't sleep at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so. And
so,
then, you know, they concentrate, takes a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes some people, their memory
yeah.
changes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the concentration
mm-hmm.
Is affected.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about people who are known introverts? Who, you know, people, they're not outgoing people anyway. How would you detect that on someone like that who is not someone who's outgoing or
mm-hmm.
or they're not very talkative or anything? Are there any signs that you can detect in someone like that?
Well, even people that are introverts, they have a pattern of how they act.
Right.
You know, so if their actions change,
mm-hmm.
you'll notice it.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And if there is a genetic, you know, thing, it was like it runs in the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to, okay, look out for it, you know, and all your family members, because
mm-hmm.
it runs in your family.
Right.
You know, so just their behavior change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they stop eating,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because there are people that do like to be by themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you see them and you notice that they're looking down or their, like I said before, their behavior changes,
mm-hmm.
then you can ask them, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay close attention to those friends, the family, or
mm-hmm.
whatever, you can see it. Because we talked about Robin Williams last week.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And everybody around him just saw him as a happy person.
Right.
And many people were shocked that he did take his own life, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know,
well, there's still, because most comedians, they stay in their home. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, they're not on, as you say.
All the time.
You know, so even with them, there had to have been some signs.
Yeah.
You know, the people around them just didn't pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And I know when I worked in social work, and we had with some elderly people at a nursing home, one of the things we noticed they had the loss of appetite or whatever, or weren't seeming themselves, we would have to go through a battery of questions mm-hmm. that we had to ask them. And one of the main questions that those who were not clinically depressed but just having a bad day would say, you know, we would ask the question, are you having reoccurring thoughts of suicide or death, or did you better off being dead? They'd be like, why are you asking me this? You know, because they were like, I'm all right, you know. Mm-hmm. But then there are those that if you ask that question to, and if they sort of slow to even answer that, then you know, okay, I need to dig a little bit more and find out, you know, what's really going on. Right. So that comes to my point about, you know, knowing exactly what to say, because sometimes people just don't know what to say to their loved one or their friends if they see that they're sort of acting unusually down or depressed or to themselves, and they just feel like on the inside that something is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, when we see someone or notice someone that, you know, that is close to us that seems like they are really in a funk of depression, you know, what's the best way to approach them? What are some of the best things to just ask to get them talking about it?
Just basically keep it simple. Okay. Are you okay?
Just start a conversation.
Can I help you mm-hmm. with anything? Are you feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah.
You know, just simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be anything long, drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
Just a simple, are you okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Opens up a lot of people.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
You know, so just keeping it simple, asking, you know, is there anything going on?
Mm-hmm.
Has anything happened mm-hmm. to cause you to be sad or down or
mm-hmm.
however you say it, you know, mm-hmm. just a simple conversation, a normal conversation can bring it out.
Yeah. Right. And then your next thing is like, how can I support you? Can I help you? Can I get some help for you? You know, what can I do? You know,
because
we don't want to ignore it and say the wrong thing. Like, you'll just get over it. You know, that's just snap out of it, you know, but that's
we don't want to say that.
Yeah. Those are things that you don't want to say because you don't want someone to feel like they're insignificant and that whatever they're going through does not matter. Cause to them, it matters a lot.
Right.
And for some, it's as critical as life and death, because then that's when thoughts, reoccurring thoughts of suicide or being better off not being here can start arising in some people, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and other people, you know, they just may, like it says, be like a hermit. Stay away from everybody. Just don't want to talk to nobody, you know.
Mm-hmm. And they happy that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Some of them are, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you know, there's an issue there that is making them stay withdrawn from, you know, from society. You know, mm-hmm. there's a definite issue there to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one thing I want to note that's important, because you know we always bring in the biblical part of the aspect, you know, and you ladies chime in, you know, whenever you feel the need to. But one of the things I know in scripture, you know, is so important is that we cannot allow our thoughts to mislead us by accepting destructive thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look in the headlines and watch the news and we see all of these murder suicides where people going into their jobs or wherever,
mm-hmm.
and they're not only killing the people that's there, they're killing themselves. And you're like, what thoughts are going through their heads? What depressive thoughts are going through their heads where their life doesn't matter anymore? Nobody mm-hmm. else's does either, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's accepting that disruptive thinking, where in the Word of God, you know, it's about it's positive things. I even go to what's said in the scripture, and I touched on this scripture last week of Philippians 4:8, where it says, so keep your thoughts continue fixed on all that is authentic and real,
mm-hmm.
honorable, admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure, holy, merciful, and kind. Think about those words. Those words are all positive words.
Yeah,
honorable, admirable, beautiful, you know, mm-hmm. respectful, holy, merciful, kind. All those are positive words that you're focusing on. So we know the negative thoughts that we meditate on are going to produce negative fruit, bad fruit. You know, yeah, it's right. going to produce wrong thinking. It could produce somebody going in a, you know, in a workplace and, you know, harming themselves or someone else.
Correct. Those negative thoughts produce negative feelings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And our feelings directly affect our body.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know, so that negativity, those negative words, those negative thoughts
mm-hmm.
that they roll around in their head.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one show that on Ayanla Fix My Life
mm-hmm.
where she told people, stop practicing the story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. That's good.
Where they keep practicing the story mm-hmm. of what happened
mm-hmm.
and they keep rolling that story
that's
around in their
right.
head.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a form of meditation.
It right. is. It
you know,
is.
Some people think that, you know, meditation is woo, woo, woo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something wrong with that. But all meditation is, it's constantly thinking about one
thing.
Particular
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep thinking about it and thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you meditate on wrong things,
mm-hmm.
the effects will affect you mentally as well as physically.
Right.
And one question to you, Miss Belinda. I didn't have that in the notes. But if in your profession and in counseling someone, if someone comes to you voluntarily on their own because they know they need some help,
mm-hmm.
What would you say to them if they came in there and maybe they, let me just use an example, are dealing with some type of depression from family abuse
mm-hmm.
and they've kept it in? What thoughts would you say to them concerning when they come to you about meditating on, you know, or thinking, have those wrong thoughts about what has happened to them in the past
mm-hmm.
and maybe them not being able to get past it? How would you start the conversation with them towards getting healthier? What would be something you would just, that comes to mind that you would say to them about how to start
right.
Getting healthier in their thinking?
Well, of course, you have to ask them what happened to them.
Yeah.
Then once that they say it out,
mm-hmm.
then don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
don't ask him anymore
mm-hmm.
because that will continue
mm-hmm.
him thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can suggest, you know, talking more
mm-hmm.
to a therapist
yeah.
or to a friend that they know they can trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would suggest them, you know, doing a journal
okay.
to get their feelings out.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people need to write their emotions down
mm-hmm.
and that'll help them release it out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're writing it down, you're getting it out as
mm-hmm.
a poem.
Okay.
So, you know, listening to them, because sometimes they just want somebody to hear them
mm-hmm.
and to know that they care about you,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
they matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so just simply listening
mm-hmm.
can be a big help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's a weight that they have been carrying around.
Right.
So them unloading to you is them unloading
right.
that weight.
Right.
And then they finally have someone that they feel like is listening, like you said,
right.
listening to them. And I noticed a lot of counselors, they do. They'll let people just talk and get
mm-hmm.
it out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they're interject with their notions of how to help, you know.
Right.
Because I guess first, in order to treat the problem, you got to know what the problem is.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you got to hear what's been boggling them down
mm-hmm.
to the point to where they can no longer feel they can function normally
right.
in life. So, yeah. But, you know, again, like I said, in scripture, it goes back to what you are thinking on the most.
Right.
What are you meditating on the most? And it is good to go get that counseling and get treated by a therapist, you know, a counselor. It's good to be treated. And it's also, you know, if you know the Lord like we do, you know, it's also good to just stay in the Word, because
mm-hmm.
even in Romans 12:2, it says that, you know, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Exactly.
You know, and your changing of the way you think makes you come into a new person, because guess what? You're not thinking on old things, bad things, things that make you stay bound to
right.
your past or bound to things that have kept you down or weighted you down. When you're thinking on those new things, you're transforming your mind with the Word of God, for one thing. It is also shaping how you view life. You know, you're not viewing it from the lens of defeat. You're viewing it from the lens of victory. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, you know the Lord Jesus, you have faith in him, then you're believing and trusting in the Lord is going to help me through this. You know, along with the counseling. I'm not knocking the counseling, you know, because everybody needs somebody to talk to. And sometimes you need somebody neutral to talk to.
Exactly.
You know, because you know that person's going to look at it from a different lens as well, because they don't know you. They don't know your issues. But if they're a counselor, they're there. They're trained to talk to you and help you work through those issues. Right. So you cannot allow that to no longer keep you bound and shackled, you know, into this cave where you can come out the cave and you can live again, you know. And that's the most, one of the most important things.
And on that note, you know, you can even get them to do like a vision board.
Yeah.
What does your future look like for you? You know, what do you want your future to be? You have to leave the past in the past. And look towards your future. And with the vision board, you know, with some, with the men, they may not want to do that, but you know, and some do, you know, but just having that visual, you know, can keep their minds on that and not what happened to them in the past.
And that's a hope. That vision board is like hope for the future. And if someone thinks that they have a future, then they're going to start living daily, you know, day to day, like they do expect something out of the future. Right. But for someone that goes and shoots up malls or wherever and kills themselves, they obviously have no vision of the future.
Right.
And then, even scripture says about, you know, if you have a lack of vision, you perish, you know, because you don't have, you don't see nowhere to go. You know, you see whatever situation you're in right then, that's all you see. You don't see a change coming. You don't see there's hope. All you see is defeat. And that's what the enemy wants you to see. He wants you to think that there's no hope. But I'm here to say, you know, because I know the Lord Jesus, there is always hope. And if you want to know him too, I tell you, all you got to do is have faith in him and set him in your heart, and your life will change. Not saying it's going to be void of issues. We all go through things in life, because everyone is walking at a journey of life. And in that, it's going to be ups and downs. But when you are walking with the right person, and I got that in one of my devotions, you walking with the Lord, he is going to help you through those ups and downs, and he's going to help you get back up again.
Check out Lady V's weekly devotion.
That's right. You know, the whole point of the devotionals is to uplift people. That's what we're doing here, spreading hope everywhere. We want to uplift people. We want to direct you to the right medical attention places to get help. You know, we'll have some links we can share as well concerning that, you know, websites where you can, you know, check out, you know, different hopeful you know, things that, you know, programs that can help you if you're in the certain areas. But yeah, we, that's the whole point of us doing this, is we want to reflect the Lord Jesus to our audience and allow them to see that there is hope all the way around. You know, there's, you know, through him, we believe, you know, there is hope. And he can direct you, just like, you know, you can get directed by a friend or family member if you're going through something. What was a good counselor? They may know a good counselor. You know, I know in the black community, and we can say this because we are, you know, African-American, a lot of times it's like, that's like taboo. You don't go to no counselor. But we are learning as a culture that that is okay to do that. It's okay to go to a counselor. It's okay to get that help, because that's what they're here for. And God gives people the knowledge to help others anyway. Where it's all about, it's all linked in with everyone helping one another in some form or fashion. And there's no shame in getting some mental health counseling or help.
And that's why words are so important. Even when you're speaking to someone, on the last episode, if we had our special guest, Lady V's lovely daughter, Alexis, and she was telling us about the cyberbullying that she had, she witnessed online, that was happening to others, you know, and she was saying how that they would tell people to go and commit suicide, to go and die, to go kill themselves. And that's horrible, you know, to tell someone to go and do that. Now, I know everybody has heard, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Y'all, that is not true.
That's right.
Words will hurt. I know there was a study that was done some years ago where they put rice in two jars. You know, regular white rice, you know, that we eat, you know, they put it in two glass jars. And one jar, they would go by and they would just speak hateful words to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Talk negatively to the jar.
Mm-hmm.
The other jar, they spoke positive words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just, you know, anything that was positive and uplifting, they spoke mm-hmm. to that jar.
Mm-hmm.
In a certain period of time,
mm-hmm.
the jar where the negative words
mm-hmm.
were the hate and the spew that was spewed towards it,
mm-hmm.
the rice turned black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the jar where the positive words, it stayed white.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there showed
mm-hmm.
that words
mm-hmm.
have life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they can speak life or death
That's mm-hmm. right.
to a situation, to
yeah.
a person.
Yeah.
So think about it. If you are speaking negative thoughts to yourself,
mm-hmm.
or you are allowing negative thoughts to roll around in your head and
mm-hmm.
you meditate on those negative thoughts
yeah.
over and over again,
mm-hmm.
it will have an effect on your body.
It right. will. It will. Because words will either build you up or they will tear you down.
Exactly.
So, you know, you have to be careful what you're saying. That's why the Word of God said to speak life,
mm-hmm.
you know, to encourage one another with these words.
Yes.
Because the encouragement that comes from positive speaking words will make someone, you know, smile, feel good. But if you hear somebody call you a bad name or call put you down in any way or say something negative to you, you're going to obviously start feeling some type of way, and it's going to affect your emotions, which is
mm-hmm.
going to affect your insides.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to make you ill at ease, you know, which
mm-hmm.
causes stress and disease, you
mm-hmm.
know. So, you know, therefore, if you have someone that's speaking positive, it makes you feel good, you
mm-hmm.
know. Speaking good words to you, it makes you feel good. So you do have to change what you think.
It reminds me of, I think it was Bishop Jakes that says,
mm-hmm.
when you break down the word disease,
mm-hmm.
it's dis-ease.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's
so it's dis-ease to the body.
Yes,
right.
yes, yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, a form a symptom of depression is pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, sickness in your body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because it is doing something inside of you.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the more you think on it, the more effect it's going to have.
Right.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. And then I go back to, you know, I've worked, you know, in a place before where every time you I walked in this place, and I wasn't the only one. It was others that said the same thing. It just felt like death. When we walked in this building, because it was such negative stuff going on, I mean, and people just being hateful and negative, and all that energy just pouring out negative energy, and it was just making it a drag, and I was just getting to the point where I was just dreading going to this place of work, and I was just thinking to myself, you know, it should not be this hard. I mean, because I enjoy my job, but I can't stand how I feel when I enter the building, and it was because it was such negative stuff going on, negative talk, putting people down, and, you know, treating people like they're nothing. You know, the people in the administrative hall that worked on the same hall that I worked on, you know, they was talking down to the employees as if we weren't getting a paycheck too.
Mm.
You know, we were getting a paycheck too, but they were taking their
authority,
yeah, their position, their title, and using it to abuse people. And I didn't do that. That was one thing I refused to do, because I'm like, hey, you know, I've been where you were at, you know, where you're trying to get somewhere, but you hadn't got there yet. But I ain't gonna act like because I've gotten there, I've arrived, that makes me better than you know. I had to get there too. But, you know, it was just such a horrible place to work, because the negativity was just, whoo, it just felt like death. You know, and it's because negative words being spoken, negative people, and all that negativity, that's not good for me. You be in a positive place and it's uplifting, like you go to Disney World, you know,
yeah,
and you see the joy of all the people that's there, the grown people feeling like kids again with their kids, and it's just, you know, so joyous and fun. Then you want to go to the amusement parks and stuff like that, because it's joy there. People are happy, they're on vacation, you know what I'm saying? But if you're in a place that's, you know, you hear negative stuff is going on, that affects you, affects your thinking. Because when I was working at that place, you know, what I was going to, that, you know, it was just such negativity going on, I got depressed. I got really depressed. You know, it wasn't no depression to thoughts of wanting to do that to myself. It was just feeling like this is the worst place ever to have to be, you know, and I'm here, but why am I here? Why can I leave, Lord? This is the time to go. I'm gonna shine a light and go. But yeah, you know, it definitely matters the way you think, the words you speak. All of that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason why, you know, it matters, and we about to end it up here, because the word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the word made flesh, yeah, okay? And the word is life. It's living. And we're talking about the word of God in the Holy Bible. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I go back to what the word of God tells us. It says to take every thought captive. That's in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Take every thought captive. And it's a reason for that. If you don't capture those negative thoughts that come in and you replace them with some good word, then you're going to stay in a place of negativity. But if you replace it with good thoughts, good words, and I'm going to speak about the word of God that's going to uplift you, then and positive words, you know, then you're going to see a better outlook. You're going to see life in a better outlook. Right. But the thing of it is, getting help, going to getting counseling, all of that matters. It all matters because it all works and ties in together. Anything else you got, Esty?
Well, I was going to ask Miss Melinda, what is the difference between, okay, again, we've spoken about the shootings, people going into workplaces and churches and schools and all that stuff. What's the difference between the clinical depression and schizophrenia or something like that that causes a person to go and just kill people?
Well, there are a lot of people who have, you know, bipolar schizophrenia that also have what they call major depression. You know, that's like another level. You know, and even with, you know, those people that went and done that, most of the time when they talked to the family said that they were acting strange or they were acting differently than what they normally do. Some of the parents were saying, well, we tried to get them help, but we couldn't get them help. You know, so it all leads up, you know, and when someone, as they say, hurt people, hurt people. So if they are feeling like their life has ended and they are worthless, then why should I care about anybody else's life? Not thinking my life may not be worth saving, but someone else's. They just want to get rid of everybody. They don't care who they hurt, what they do, because they feel like they're going to leave this earth anyway.
And they want to take as many people with them as they can.
And that's what's sad, because they are valuable. You know, they may be in a place where they're in confusion. They're in confusion, but they are still valuable because it can be treated, and then they can get the help that they need to be better. But a lot of times, they don't go that route for help. They just go that route for hell. You know what I mean? I'm saying hell. I'm talking about causing hell on other people by killing havoc. Wreaking havoc, you know.
Well, that's why, you know, the healthcare needs to change. Because a lot of people can't go to a therapist because they can't afford it.
Exactly. I was going to say
You know, that's and good, even like Ms. with the VA clinics, they don't have the proper counseling there because unless you've been in war, you really don't know what they go through. You know, so they're fine. That's why a lot of them are ending up on the streets. You know, because they couldn't get the help. Even when they may have talked to a counselor or someone there in the role of counselor, you know, they may not have gotten the help that they needed.
And in episode 2, we talked about homelessness in America and the number of veterans who are homeless out on the street after serving this country. And that is why, Miss Melinda, because maybe they have they haven't gotten the help that they needed, and that's why they ended up on the street.
And like you said, some people just can't afford to go to a counselor, want to go to a counselor therapist, but they just can't afford to. But that's why it would be so great, you know, to have facilities set up, you know, and I believe that it's going to happen soon enough. By God using me to do this, but to have a facility set up where you could get, you know, free counseling. Come in and get free counseling, and, you know, and it's being made available to you, and it's going to be always and every day by the on a biblical perspective, but it still will be treated, you know, in a medical way. You know, because this is something that I feel like is seeming to be an epidemic, because whenever I hear about a pastor committing suicide, mm-hmm. leaving a fat wife and children behind, it mm-hmm. saddens me because I think to myself, you know, they spend time with God. They know God, so they know God loves them, and the last thing they need to do is give up because, right. you know, he is their strength. You know, mm-hmm. Christ is our strength. So whenever we feel like we can't make it, we lean on him, but mm-hmm. we don't give up. And I'm not by any means belittling them for what they did. I mean, that is a battle only them and the Lord know what they mm-hmm. were facing. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I wish it were so that, you know, even pastors could feel that they can go to someone that they trust and mm-hmm. say, hey, you know what, good counselor that you can direct me to, or someone that, you know, don't mind just keeping my business, you know, mm-hmm. confidential, but, you mm-hmm. know, helping me through this.
Mm-hmm. But that's the problem. They are probably afraid mm-hmm. that that person will tell their business because there mm-hmm. is an attack on pastors. Let's yeah. just be yeah. real about it.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times they are held up to this high standard. Right. And the thing of it is, y'all, pastors are human beings
that's
too.
Right. That's right.
They are people who make mistakes mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that there are some who would lead you to believe that they don't have any problems and that they walk on the clouds and stuff like that. But the thing of it is, they're not Jesus. And they need Jesus.
Yeah, we all
and
do.
They can't get through without him.
Yeah.
And if you don't lean on Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're coming from a biblical perspective because yeah. we are Christians.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we believe that we are to lean on him. He mm-hmm. said his yoke is easy
yeah.
and his burden is light.
Come on now.
So if we lean on him, mm-hmm. then he will carry the weight.
He will carry, yes.
But the thing
yes.
of it is, they feel like that, oh, I can't go to a counselor because they're going to put my business in the street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or they might feel like I'm going to be up here weak.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm supposed to be strong, but God is the one that strengthens us. We're weak, and without him, we mm-hmm. are absolutely nothing. And there's no shame in getting help and getting counseling help. Even if you're a pastor, mm-hmm. you know, go get the help. Don't leave your family and your children behind. Just go to help. And if you got to take a break from being a pastor at the church just to get some mental health, you know, and take your family away so you can just get some peace,
yes.
you know, for a while, do that.
Yes,
do that.
Exactly.
Don't leave this earth and leave your family behind. Do that. Just take a break. Step aside. God is a loving God. He
yes,
is not going to
fault
you if you feel like you don't had it up to here, you know, with all the responsibilities of being a pastor. Mm-hmm. He would much rather you say, you know, Father, I just need a break from all
yes.
this for a couple of years. You know, mm-hmm. if you want me to come back to it, you bring me back stronger than ever.
Yes.
But I need to take a break. And it's no shame in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't mean you have failed God. That doesn't mean you are trying to stay a healthy vessel so he can continue to use you.
Exactly.
You know, and
right.
it's no shame. And then
that's good, lady.
Never compare yourself. If you are a son or a daughter that has taken over a church of your parents, it is no shame in not being like them.
Exactly.
If you are made it uniquely you, God created
mm-hmm.
you uniquely you. So it's no depression, no shame if you can't do things like the previous pastor did. You
exactly.
are meant to do something totally different because you a totally different person.
Exactly.
Y'all ain't twins, and even twins are different.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, they may look alike, but on the inside, they got different thoughts and opinions and feelings
mm-hmm,
and stuff
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So God made everybody unique, so you don't ever have to feel like a failure.
Right.
Because one thing about it, I have heard this from so many people that say, you know, like Steve Harvey, different ones that's talked about how when they failed at something, that was like a stepping stone up to doing greater.
Yes.
And it just pushed them to do greater.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it was just an opportunity to learn from and just keep on pushing, because
yes.
if you ever allow negative thoughts and negative thinking to make you feel like there is no hope, then you have allowed the enemy to win and convincing you that your life doesn't matter. Your life matters no matter who you are. And so your thoughts, again, need to be healthy thoughts. And if you can't get it together on your own or with counseling is the next step, you know. And I hope that, you know, you will find a counselor that actually cares about you and cares about directing you the right way and keeping in touch and making sure you're still good, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you hear about some, you know, different things where some people counsel someone and they might feel healthy for a little while, and then next, you know, they don't go on to commit some kind of murder or something,
uh-huh.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
they don't fell off the rails. Well, you know, continue it on. Continue that counseling on
mm-hmm.
every now and then. Just keep going. Even if you feel like I'm good,
mm-hmm.
keep going back. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
every now and then, if you can afford it, you have insurance to take care of it. But if not, you know, I'm just believing God for facilities to pop up that, you know, are being done, you know, like clinics, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
been done where you're not charged and you just, you know, you're, so there's someone there to help.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Spread Hope Challenge for this week, you guys, is to be aware of your family mm-hmm. and your friends. Mm-hmm. The challenge is basically pay attention mm-hmm. to those who are around you.
Yeah.
Because you never know. After hearing what Miss Melinda said, mm-hmm. you might spot something and you might could go to that person and let them know that they are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. Mm-hmm. And if you choose to do it, hashtag us the Spread Hope Challenge
mm-hmm.
at We Are She Talks mm-hmm. on social media.
Mm-hmm. And so we never want to leave you in, you know, without a closing word, a blessing, and a scripture. So, you know, the scripture this week that I just want to speak over you into your lives is that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is Romans 15 and 13, the World English Translation. So until next time, grace and peace to you.
If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe so that you can stay plugged in into another hope-filled discussion. For this week's show notes, go to spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com/S1E7. While you are there, follow and like us on social media. Sign up for my SDs, list of 10 must-read books for positive outlook, spiritual enlightenment, and brain health. Check out Lady V's weekly devotionals. And if you like merch with positive messaging, go on over to our online store. Join us next time on She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, where we are letting our light shine through faith, hope, and love.